in the name of Jesus, will receive revelation that's found in the written word. Our eyes behold Jesus, even as he sees us in himself. He's glorified. We are edified today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, decades upon decades into decades. We stand edified and Jesus is glorified. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, we started off something yesterday, but during prayer retreats and the believing believers, right? Right? Okay, so yesterday we looked at the believing believers in the work. Hallelujah. The believing believers in the work. But we're looking at something a bit the same, but not focused on what we were focused on yesterday. Hallelujah. So we're looking at the believing believers every day. Hallelujah. The believing believers every day. Glory to God. Are you okay? Open your Bibles with me to Matthew. Matthew. Now, many times, Matthew 1. Now, many times, I've told us that how you handle your Bible is very important. How you handle your Bibles is very important. Many times, the way some people read their Bibles, they read their Bibles in two compartments. Old Testament and New Testament. And when you think the Old Testament is gone, some of us sometimes will say that the Old Testament is gone. God is, you're no longer, no. Now I said a good student of the Bible is a good observer. Observe how the Old Testament are used. Amen. The Old Testament is not treated as what is gone. No. It's not treated as what is gone. It's treated as the Word of God. In John chapter 5, for example, John 5, verse 39. John 5, verse 39. Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, he says, you search the scriptures. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. So, he's talking about scriptures. So, what is scriptures in the days of Jesus? The Old Testament books, Genesis down to Malachi. Okay, you hear me? It's called scriptures. He says, search the scriptures. So, I said, you observe how the Old Testament is used as a student of the Bible. Amen. That was what they read from as scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, he says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. Paul is telling Timothy, he says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. Hallelujah. Known the Holy Scriptures. What is it referring to as scriptures? Genesis down to Malachi. So, you must understand how scriptures are used. Hallelujah. Okay, hear me. You must know how scriptures are used. How Genesis to Malachi is not something that is done. Some of us will say, or some people have heard it, not from, yeah, some I've heard some Christian folks say, you don't read the Old Testament, it's not for you. Then it's for who? Then it's for who? And why do people have to say that? Hallelujah. I've shown you that all the time the apostles were preaching, all the time the apostles preached in the book of Acts and in the epistles, they were reading from the Old Testament books. So that means we can say the New Testament books are founded on the Old Testament books. You get me? They are founded on the Old Testament books. Glory to God. So the background of the New Testament books are the Old Testament books. The writings of the prophets. Jesus in Luke 24. Look at verse 27. Luke 24, 27. Look at what he says. He says, this is Jesus with his disciples from verse 25. He said to them, all fools and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. Of not the Christ. Hope you're seeing that. Of not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Moses and all the prophets. It says, begin at Moses and all the prophets. You have to watch it. So Jesus wants to teach them. He says, begin at Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them in all the scriptures. What is scriptures in Jesus' day? It's for Matthew. Jesus didn't read Matthew, Matthew, Luke, and John. They were not written. Okay, hear me. So what Jesus read was Genesis down to Malachi. Look at verse 44. He said to them, these are the words I spoke to you while I was still with you. That all things must be fulfilled written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Hallelujah. So Jesus will read the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The same thing to the disciples when they were to write the synoptics. Matthew said in Matthew 1, where I asked you to open Matthew 1, Matthew will open up, he says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He's about to write about the incarnation, the story of Jesus, and he takes us back to where the generation, I mean the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. That is Genesis 5. He takes us back to Genesis. Hallelujah. Making you see that you have to read his writings from the Genesis. He calls the Genesis the book, I mean he calls Jesus in the Genesis the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now you say that is where you find sonship. That Genesis is a book of sonship. Hallelujah. Mark 1. Mark gives us also a preamble of how we should read this book. He says the beginning. The word beginning there is that Greek word that is used for Genesis, archaeoma. He said the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Watch it. He says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So he takes you again to Genesis. And in doing that, he goes to verse 2. He says, as it is written in the prophets. He's writing the story of Jesus. He says, it is written in the prophets. He goes straight to Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. He says, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. Who shall prepare the way before thee? He goes to Malachi. In verse 3, he goes again to Isaiah. Making you see that you have to read their materials with the Old Testament books. Okay, hear me. You read their materials, which is the New Testament books, together with the Old Testament books. The New Testament book doesn't nullify the Old Testament writings. No, it actually endorses it. Okay, hear me. It makes you read it. Okay, follow me. It makes you read it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's see a few other things. Therefore, as a Bible student, I must understand that words will have their origin within the Old Testament books. Words will have their origin within the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's see a few other things. Amen. So we find the origins of words there. And it's very vital, you see that. Glory to God. Amen. The origin of words are found there. We have new beginning, for example. New beginning. But then you find that is a narrative. You find that the word new beginning is the narrative you go back and read from the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. Amen. A new beginning. Where? Outside Egypt, out of Egypt. Isn't that? So when you find that narrative, new beginning, like to be born again, to be born again, a new beginning. It, the background will be Egypt and what God did. They came out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the writer of the epistles in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13, he says, on top of verse 13, give thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, right? Now, when I said that the thing starts from in the light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. This is what salvation is. This is what it means to be born again. This is what it means to be born again, to have the new birth.
Hallelujah. Amen. He has delivered us. Someone asked the question, does the Christian need deliverance? I said, no. The believer has been delivered. Hallelujah. It happened in Christ. Okay, you know me? The believer has been delivered. In fact, I saw a short note I wrote 2012 on Facebook recently. I'm going to share it. It's short note. And I asked the question, as a believer, does a Christian need deliverance? Amen. The short exhortation, but it's not. Amen. Can I explain it? The believer has been delivered. Hallelujah. As a believer, the Bible said, he has delivered us. Watch that word. It's in the past. He did not say he will deliver us. He said, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. That is what it means to be born again. Hallelujah. From the power of darkness. Power of darkness there, the sign of it is Egypt. We were in bondage in Egypt. Delivered from darkness. Did you see that? Hallelujah. And has translated us to the kingdom of the Son. Hallelujah. So to be born again, is to be delivered. Hallelujah. Is to be delivered. To be saved. Glory be to God. To be born again is to be born of the Spirit of God. Is to have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In John chapter 3, quickly, I will take you through from verses 3. This is Nicodemus. He came and met Jesus. And he asked, and Jesus, he said, he asked him in verse 2, that was the future come from God. No one can do this miracle except God be with him. Jesus answered to him, very well said to thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. And Nicodemus, that word born again there means to be born anew, to be born from above. That's the word, to be born from above. Now Nicodemus answered like a normal typical Englishman would say, does he need to go into his mother's womb and be born the second time? Jesus said, no. Jesus is explaining what it means to be born again. He said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now he used the word water and spirit. He's not talking about water baptism there. He's explaining to be born again. Amen. So he used the word water, that is, the word and there in their world is used many times for what? To explain. So he says that the man be born of water, that is of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And if you read further, he didn't make mention of water anymore. So he was talking about water baptism. Hallelujah. But rather, the emphasis was on the Spirit. Look at verse 6, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Meaning to be born again is to be born of the Spirit. Okay, follow me. To be born again is to be born of the Spirit. To begin in the Spirit. Galatians 3:3. He says, have you begun in the Spirit? So to be born again is to begin your life in the Spirit. Is to start in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To begin in God's land. That is the Egypt and Kenya land of Spirit. Do you see that? To begin in God's land. To start in the Spirit. Verses 8. It says, verse 7 says, marvelous, I said unto you, you must be born again. He said, the wind blow where it listed and can't, and we can't hear the sound thereof. For can't care where cometh and where goeth. So is he that is born of the Spirit. To be born again, to be born of the Spirit. What does that mean? John 14. Jesus will say in verse 16, he said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So that means to be born again is to have the Spirit of God abiding in you. That is what it means to be born of the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit of God lives in you. Verses 20. Hope you're following me. John 14, 20. He says, and at that day, you will know I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So to be born again is to have the Spirit of God in you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Make sure you're following me. 1 Corinthians 2. Verses 9. It says, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard. And I say into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. He said, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yet the deep things of God. He said, but what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, the things of God were no man, but the Spirit of God. Look at verse 12. Let's read verse 12 together, everybody. Want to go? Come on. Verse 12, want to go?
No.
Now, we'll receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So, that means the believer has received the Spirit of God. See, I have the Spirit of God.
I have the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
This is what has happened to us in Christ. Hallelujah. It has happened to us in Christ. You don't need to feel like it to know it. God's word tells you this. Hallelujah. We believe the integrity of God's word. So, believing the integrity of God's word means God's word has said it, I believe it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God's word has said it, I believe it. Glory to God. So we have the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, say, I have the Spirit of God. I have the Spirit of God. God lives in me. Hallelujah. God lives in the believer. Or in the man who is born again. He lives in the believer. That man, the man who is born again, is in an inseparable union with God. John 15. He's in a union with God. John 15. Are you there? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Verse 4. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. So, no more can ye except he abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. This is that, and I in him. That's the reality of the believer. The believer is in Christ. And Christ is in me. As the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
God lives in the believer. And the believer is in God. You see that? So we're in a union that cannot be separated. That cannot be separated. Look at Romans chapter 8. Following me this morning?
Yes, sir.
Hope you're following me this morning.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Romans chapter 8. Are you there? Are you there? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 55. It says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Say, who can separate us from the love of Christ? They shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. It is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, all these things, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, and persuaded, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, hallelujah, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Nothing can separate us from the love of God, from this union of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing. And so someone said, can a believer lose his salvation? No! You are born again forever. Amen. Amen. The believer is born again forever. Let that dawn in you. Hallelujah. Look at what Jesus said. Let that, who said to be born again is to have the Holy Ghost, right? John chapter 14 again. Let's see what Jesus said. Let's take a good look at what Jesus has said. John 14, verse 16. Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? He says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for 2 days. Is that what is your Bible? Is that what is in your Bible? He will abide with you for 1 month. Is that what is in your Bible? He will abide with you for 1 year. Is that what is in your Bible? Please, what is in your Bible? For what?
Forever.
He will abide with you forever. Hallelujah. So that means, Remember, we said to be born again is to have the Holy Ghost. Now, if the Holy Ghost is to abide with you forever, it means you are born again, saved forever. Did you see that? Amen. The Holy Ghost doesn't leave. He doesn't go on vacation. I don't know why, but the Holy Ghost is kind of taking our attention again to these things in these days. Hallelujah. He doesn't leave. The Holy Ghost doesn't go and leave. He doesn't go on path. The Holy Ghost doesn't go on vacation. Say, please just stay here. Let me quickly go to vacation. No. He abides with you forever. Hallelujah. He stays in you forever. Look at John 10. Just a few chapters before John 14. Go back to John 10. Let's see what Jesus said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. John 10, let's go. Hallelujah. Look at verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He said, and I give them eternal life. Hallelujah. Remember I said, I'll give you the Holy Ghost. He calls the Holy Ghost eternal life. So meaning the believer has the life of God. The believer has the nature of God. Amen. Said, I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Did you see that? They shall never what? They shall never what? The believer can never perish. Hallelujah. Amen. Neither shall any man. Now, watch that. Neither shall any man. That word any man, there is the word anything. Neither shall anything pluck them out of my hand. Do you see that? Amen. Can you see what Paul is saying? Neither can anything pluck them out of my hands. Meaning nothing can take you away from God. Hallelujah. Nothing. Someone said, I had someone speak to me some few years back, just 2 years ago. And they were telling me, I don't know, God has been far from God. God has been far from me. Somebody that has been under my ministration years back was saying that to me. I'm like, no. Hallelujah. Where did you meet me? I don't know, but where did you meet me? At what point did you meet me? How can you say you are far from God or God is far from you? He says he will be with you forever. And I began to share with that sister this word again. He will be with you forever. Nothing can snatch you out of his hand. Obey me. Nothing can snatch me out of God's hand. Nothing. Hallelujah. Look at the church man. Say, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Hallelujah. Can you hear that? My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He now says, I and my Father are one. Hallelujah. Say, no man can pluck me out of God's hand. Say, no man can pluck me out of God's hand. Nothing can snatch me out of God's hand. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Hope you are seeing it. Nothing can pluck me out of God's hand. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. Hallelujah. That is, I've begun anew. Say, all things are part of the behold. All things are new. It's a new beginning. Hallelujah. In Christ. Hope you're following me. No man can pluck me out of his hands. Then in John 14, and as the left of your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe in me also. So that does that mean believing God, does it include believing all this? Hallelujah. No man can snatch me out of God's hand.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's salvation. So how do we get saved? By believing in what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. We believe in what Jesus has done. We believe. That's how we're saved. We believe that Jesus died. Hallelujah. He died and rose again for all these things to happen. For his spirit to endure us. Hallelujah. For my sins to be forgiven. Over for you, mean. Look at something. In Ephesians 1 verse 8, quickly. Oh, I said 8. Sorry. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 into 8. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means we receive remission of sins. We receive, now when you use the word redemption, the forgiveness there, the word forgiveness is when you have the word aphesis, is taken away. So the believer has no record of sin. Jesus dealt with it. Hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost that we have, the Holy Ghost that we have is that forgiveness of sin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So to believe this is to be saved. To believe this, Romans 10. Come on. Romans 10, quickly. Romans 10. Romans 10, verses 9. It says, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Did you see that? It says, if you believe in thy heart and confess. Now that word confess is the word homologia. Or homology. Right? Now that word confess means to say, to speak in agreement with. You are speaking in agreement with your heart. With that which you believe, you are saved. It says, if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, you are saved. Did you see that? Look at verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession. Confession is made unto salvation. Did you see how we are saved? We believe and then we speak. We believe, then we speak. Hallelujah. This is the life of the believer. This is how we become saved. We believe in what Jesus has done and then we say it. We are saved. Hallelujah. Say I'm saved. Say I'm born again. Say I'm born again. I'm saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is who we are. This is who we are. This is who we are. We are born again. So when you say believer, when you are called believer, or when we are called believer, is to affirm, is to make you see that we are men that believe God. That's why we are called believer. Because the very act that made us born again is the act of believing. Do you see that? Amen. Amen. You believe and you are. How many of you saw Jesus in the flesh before you got born again? You did. But the message was preached to you and you believed it. Right? You are a believer. Hallelujah. A believer is a man who is to believe. So that word believe is the same word for faith. Hallelujah. Just like Abraham. Just like Abraham. Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, the Bible says Abraham believed the Lord. Abraham had no child. He had no child. But God said, I will make thee a father of nations. God said, your seed shall be like the sand in the seashore. As you can number the stars, so you will be able to number your seed. And Abraham believed the Lord without having a child. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. You remember that? In chapter 17. So what is when Abraham? God said, your name will now be called Abraham, father of many nations. So he's walking, someone called Abraham. He says, no, my name is Abraham. Real people were laughing at him. You don't even have one. You are saying you are father. Amen. But he believed God. Hallelujah. He believed God. He believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. He believed God. So just like Abraham, we too have believed God. And here's what God said. I hope you are with me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Someone in the Bible? If you are enjoying the movie, amen. Glory to God. Okay. Look at verse 21. It says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Hallelujah. Who knew no sin? So that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Amen. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Did you see that? So the nature of the sin is the nature of righteousness. The believer is called righteous. What am I following me? The believer is called righteous. Look at chapter 5 of Romans. Hallelujah. The believer is called righteous. Now look at verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith. The word for justified there is the word to be declared righteous. Now, we are declared righteous by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Be declared righteous. I love what the dear man of God said by name E.W.K. He said, righteousness means that it is the nature of God, or that and that gives a man right standing with God. Hallelujah. The right standing with God without any form, without any fear of guilt. Hallelujah. That is the righteous, that's the nature of God that we have. We have the nature of righteousness. Hallelujah. We are righteous. Amen. How do we get righteous? By believing. You see that? We are righteous by believing. We didn't do anything. It's not because you looked good. Amen. It's not because you used to, you don't used to put attachment, as people say. Amen. It's not because you don't have earrings. No. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're here yesterday. Ephesians 2. Yeah, what is that? Ephesians 2. It says, for by grace ye are saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You see that? It's not of works that any man should boast. So that means our being saved is not as a result of our works. Amen. Amen. For we are workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see that? Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now he says we are not born again by our works. By our works. When Paul was speaking to the church at Rome, in Romans, he said if Abraham was justified by works, he was declared righteous by works, then it will not be called faith. It is called faith because it's not by works. Hallelujah. But not by works. So that means you don't need to work anything for you to get saved. Christ did it all. Hallelujah. Amen. He did it all. All I needed to do was to believe. That is why I am a believer. Amen. And I believe, therefore I spoke. Right? I believe, therefore I speak. And that becomes the life of the believer. The life of the believer is to put God's word that you receive in your heart, in your mouth. Hallelujah. Because God wants the believer to be believing. What am I telling you? To be believing all the time. God wants the believer to be believing all the time. He wants to keep believing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the life of the believer is to put God's word always on his mouth. Always. God wants his words on your mouth. What does he want on your mouth? What he has done and what he's doing in the earth today. He wants it on your mouth. Hallelujah. You know, yesterday we began talking about believing believer in the work. You must speak concerning God's work in the earth. The way God is saying it. Right? You don't see possibilities. Glory to God. You don't see possibilities. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. God wants us to put his words on his mouth. Look at verses 5. Hebrews 13:5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, watch it, for God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Stop. God has said, watch it, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That we may boldly say, did you see that? That is the life of the believer, to say God's word. Now, it's not enough. Listen, it's not enough for you to hear God's word and nod your head. A dear man of God said, there is such a thing that Satan has given to the church today that looks like faith, but it's not faith. It's called mental assent. And mental assent can be called faith. When you see, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is not faith. Amen. It's called mental assent. When you try to take it good with your head. That is not faith. Faith is seen in our words also. I believe it. Therefore, I will speak. Hallelujah. The God has said, I will never. Is that our present day reality? Is that our present day reality? God is never leaving us. The Spirit of God abides in us forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He has said so. Therefore, what happened? Just nod your head. No. He said that we may boldly say. So that means the life of the believer is the life of confessing God's word. Is the life of putting God's word on his lips. Hallelujah. I put God's word on my lips. I'm a believing believer. Hallelujah. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what men shall do unto me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God's word will cause you to speak. I like to put it this way, the way Dixon would like to say, to speak pari passu. I don't know why he likes pari passu. But you speak pari passu. You know, the English that goes. Pari passu. You say it as he has said it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the life of the believer. You put God's word on your lips. Hallelujah. You put God's word on your lips. You know, the word will make you say something else. Want to say something else, but you are a believer. You don't say what is happening around. You say what God's word is saying. Hallelujah. So we began looking at some things yesterday. And I'm going to say a few of that. And then I'll continue from where we started yesterday, but not in yesterday's topic. Then I'll speak about some other things today, and by God's grace we'll round up next week. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Just like I said, it's a short exhortation laid in our hearts as we got prepared for prayer retreats that we are explaining and just keep talking about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now it says Satan wants you to see possibilities, right?
Yes, sir.
Right? He wanted to see. Remember, the devil always calls for God's word. Look at Matthew chapter 13. The parable of the seed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The parable of the sowers, brother. Okay.
Amen.
I will read verses 18. Therefore, the parable, therefore, the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away, verse 19, that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Is that? Amen. So Satan always calls for the word. Amen. It comes to God. He wants to make you doubt the integrity of God's word. In Genesis chapter 3, he came to meet the woman. He said, has God said you shouldn't eat of the tree? Did you see that? What God has said. Matthew. Hope you can say, I'm showing you what Satan comes for. He wants to make you doubt God's word. Hallelujah. Look at in Matthew chapter Matthew 3, quickly. Matthew 3. Verse 17. And lo, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Did you see that? Right? This is what God said, because I said, this is my only begotten son. In chapter 4, verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the son of God. Did you see that? If thou be the son of... You see, Satan always comes for God's word to make you doubt it. Amen. So, someone asked me, say, sir, am I sure I'm still born again? I don't understand. You're born again. Hallelujah. You just, as a disciple, as a student of the word, you know this is the tracks of the devil. He doesn't change his way. He only just modifies it to speak modern reality, but it's the same thing. Amen. Only I'm following you. It's the same way. His strategy has been changed. Glory to God. He wants to make you doubt the integrity of God's word. Many times in doing that, you now begin to feel unworthy. Some people will make you feel that you are not worthy. And therefore you now put wrong words on your lips. You now put wrong words on your lips. He wants to make you feel unworthy. Then you begin to confess rubbish. Say rubbish words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How about that? For someone who I ministered to one time, and I told the person, this is what you say, you put God's word on your lips. And when the sickness came back again, the person started shouting, I don't die, you are not. Where did you learn that from? And eventually the person died. Kept shouting. So they come and say this. Can you say that it is? I don't know why people say that. Let's say our mind. Then the consequences were kept in there. Let's say our mind. In Bible, we are not taught to say our minds anyhow. We are not taught to even say our mind. We are taught to say God's word. Who can hear me? You are taught to say God's word, not your mind. Though a believer is supposed to be careless with words. He wants to make you feel unworthy and then you say wrong words. We're going to see that from two spirits now. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We're doing wrong, but let's talk about this. Look at Numbers. Get to Numbers 13. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Numbers 13. Now, Joshua has sent spies.
He has sent spies to go and spy the land. He has sent spies to go spy the land. And now they came back. At this point, they spy the land. And the people of the Lord, three of them just fight. So they came back to report. Now, here they are reports. Out of the spies, 10 of them came with a very funny report. Only 2 had positive effects. Hallelujah. Look at verse 26. It's a long word, let's see. And they went, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, and all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told me, and said, we came into the land, whether thou sent us, and surely threw every meat and money. And the fruit, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people were strong that dwell in the land. come and join the land. And all the cities are war, deliberate. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The children of Anak are giants. Okay, the children of Anak are giants. Now there was the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south. And the Hittite and the Jebusite and the Amorites dwelt in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelt in the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb killed the people. Now you know what they said? They brought back bad reports that there are giants there. We saw Amorites. But Caleb killed the people, the people, and said, let us go onwards and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. Hallelujah. Just like David we saw yesterday. This now we are able to. And the men that went up with him said, would we be not able to go against the people? For they are stronger than we. Did you see that? Remember, it was a lookout for them to go. And then they came back and said, we cannot. Caleb and Joshua said, we can. They are praying for us. And they said, yeah? What would they say? And they followed an evil report about the land which they searched unto the children of Israel. The land, I mean, through which we have come to search it, is the land that eateth of the inhabitants. Can you see what they are saying? The land that eateth of the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Watch it. And there we saw giants and the sons of Anak which came, which come of the giants, and we were in their sight as grasshoppers. So were we in their sight. Did you see what they said? Hallelujah. But Joshua and Caleb had a different report. Why was that report different? Put your hands there. Get quickly to 2 Corinthians 5. Hallelujah. Quickly. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. Are you there? Let's read together. Are you there? But then we want to go. Come on, let's read together. I want to go. But we walk by faith and not by sight. Go back to Joshua. I mean to Numbers. Hallelujah. Amen. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. Okay, I will be. Okay, I will be. That word sight there is the word idos or idos, E-I-D-O-S. It's the word for appearance. Outward appearance. Literal appearance. No, were there giants in Canaan, in the land? Yes, there were giants in the land. No doubt. Look at it. But the believers walk by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You walk by faith. You walk by faith. These are people who have seen what God has done, what God did in Egypt. They heard the story of Egypt. They saw what God did in Egypt. And now they allowed what they saw to judge their assessment of God's word.
Meantime, you might see things, hear things that look logical to your senses, but they are not God's word. Hallelujah. Anything that happens in or around you that is not in consonance with God's word concerning you, concerning what he has said, that is nothing, you don't take it. Hallelujah. Rather than saying what is obvious to the eyes, you speak God's word in your mouth. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. They saw giant there. And the guy said, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. But Joshua and Caleb said, we are able to deal with them. What do you think they were looking at their sight? They were looking at the Lord. Hallelujah. Just like David. David saw Goliath. Goliath was saying, I'll kill. I'll kill. David, do you run? Hallelujah.
David said to Goliath, he spoke back words to Goliath. Hallelujah. He said, I'll cut off your head. He didn't have sword in his hands. But he said to Goliath, I'll cut off your head. He said, I'll give your carcass and the carcasses of all the armies of the Philistines to the God. I mean to the birds of the air. That truly you will know that there is God in Israel. He said all that to Goliath. I told you yesterday, he won Goliath before he ever fought with Goliath. He won with his words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why did he do that? Remember, he said to Goliath, who art thou, O circumcised Philistine, that thou darest defy the armies of the living God? So he knew, he knows rather, that Israel as a nation is God and God is with them. Hallelujah. 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 Look at Elisha and his servants. Look at Elisha and his servants. Armies came to surround them. And he was crying, oh master, we are gone. And Elisha said, he that is with us is more than he that is with them. You know that says, sir, are you okay? It's just me and you. Amen? For he that is with us. Hallelujah. He that is with us. I trust the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, the real things are not the things that are optical, that are visible to the optical eyes. Hallelujah. The real things are supernatural. Hallelujah. They are spiritual. And we are in the realm. And we are in that realm. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. Hope you're hearing me. You say, master, you know if you are there, say, ah! Sir, you say? And Elijah said, and Elijah prayed that their eyes, that his eyes be open, and his eyes was open, and he saw chariots. Glory to God. He that is with us is more than him. Glory to God. That's why you put God's word in your mouth. Put God's word in your mouth. Look at chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept all night and murmured. So now the whole people, because of other people's reports, I'll put it like this, because of CNN reports, because of news reports, because of what you've read on Instagram blog, on Gislover, because of what you've seen on Linda Ikeji, which one again? Now what you see, right? You are not doubting the integrity of God's word. Now what they say in the news. You are not scared. Amen. So, you now begin to doubt the integrity of God's word. You don't doubt it. Look what you've read. I'm not saying you should be careful sometimes in how you deal, but you should not allow fear. There are two different things. Allow fear to dominate your mind. Some people are like that, don't allow fear. We just left one recently, COVID-19. Even people that had malaria began to think they had COVID. He was not scared. God, what did he say? You need to say there's cholera all around. I'm not saying you shouldn't be careful. You shouldn't live an hygienic, you should have a good hygiene, right? Clean where you are, watch what you eat. But you should not live a life of fear. You don't have knowledge to my mind. I'm thinking, it's cholera, because yeah, no. Well, I die like this. It's no problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember reading from a dear man of God yet that was Smith Wigglesworth's word. He said, the media is devil's, he called the media something. Amen? He called the devil's media. The man of God, I don't really like anything newspaper. Okay, he called the newspaper devil's media. Amen? I don't like it. What's that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So now the children of Israel have heard this word and they are not scared. They are not scared. So believers, You must mind what you're taking. Proverbs chapter 4. Put your hands in numbers. We're coming to numbers. Proverbs 4. Put your hands in numbers. Proverbs 4. Hope you understand what I'm showing you to this afternoon, this morning, brother. Hope you are with me. Okay, Proverbs 4 quickly. Verse 20. He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline their ears to my saying. Let them not depart of their heart. I mean from their heart. Keep enemies of their heart. For their life to them that find them and hurt to others. Now look at verse 23. Say, keep thy heart with all diligence. Did you see that? For out of it are the issues of life. The scripture says, out of it are the issues that govern life. So you guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because let me tell you something. No information is neutral. It's not neutral. It's just neutral. That's normal. No. Amen. It's not neutral. So you guard your heart. You have a duty of guarding your heart. Hallelujah. It's not everything you should read. It's not everything you should watch. You guard your heart. Hallelujah. Rather than allowing anything, allow God's word to fill your heart. Hallelujah. And then speak out God's word. Amen. Allow God's word to fill your heart and then you say God's word. Glory to God. He learns to speak God's word. All the time. Let's go back to number 14. So, right now, they've allowed wrong things to come in, right? And now they are feeling unworthy. We can't do it. We can't do it. Hallelujah. We can't do it. Look at verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Hunan, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through it, to search it, is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us. A land that flows with milk and honey. Only rather not ye against the Lord. Hallelujah. That means to speak words that are not inconsistent with what God has done. Is to speak words in rebellion. Murmuring is rebellion. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to see that shortly. Murmuring is rebellion. So you mind what you say. You mind what you put on your lips. What am I saying? I don't die, yo. Why not say, I have the life of God in me. Hallelujah. Say it always. I have God's life in me. Doesn't matter what happens, I have God's life in me. Hallelujah. I'm not of this world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Did you see that? Hallelujah. You put God's word on your lips. The greater one lives in me. You say it always. You say it always. Hallelujah. Amen. I have the Holy Ghost. I have the Holy Ghost. I'm born again. I'm born again. I have the Spirit of God in me. I know what to do. I know how to do. I know how to follow God's plan. I hear his voice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hear his voice. I obey his word. You speak words. You put God's word on your lips. And say, should I not say the truth? I'm suffering, God. I'm suffering, oh God. I'm suffering, 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 suffering. Some people are like that. Oh God, Papa, don't kill me. Did you see what you are saying? Hallelujah. What about saying the Lord shall provide all my needs? According to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. Must you say what the economy is saying to you? Hallelujah. You say God's word. Hallelujah. And say there is suffering in the land. You can't choose. Why can't I just put it in my post? We are suffering. No. You are born of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. What about saying my needs are met? My deeds are paid in the name of Jesus. How about that? How about that? Say the right thing. Hallelujah. The Lord shall supply all my needs. He will supply my needs. I don't worry about them. The Lord will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I have what to eat and I will not be worried about it. Hallelujah. The Lord will supply all my needs. He will, and I believe him. About that. How will you stand by the roadside and you are arguing with people by the newspaper stand? They are saying in Nigeria, jaga jaga. Everything suffer, scatter, scatter. Poor man, they suffer, suffer. And those are people, God shut the air. Believer! What is believer? Believer means it doesn't matter what is happening in the world. I believe God. I will be fine. Then I told you, someone in my office told me that. I know what you will say. I said, what would I say? You will say I will be fine. I said, that is the only thing. I said to myself, I will be fine. I will be fine. I will not say yes, sir. No. I will be fine. Amen. I will be fine. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I will be fine. God the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because you know what? Every useless word you say will come to pass. You see? My pastor, Papa Shek, was sharing something about someone he got to meet. And the person is now into ministry. Right? But is having a problem with the husband because of ministry. So he reached out to the pastor, to my pastor, Papa Shek, and then they had a conversation. And then by God's spirit, Papa Shek told him, you said something years ago, but like, you described for her her school and her hostel. And I said, you were having a conversation with some Muslim ladies, and then you just started saying, I can never marry a pastor. They all those useless stuff. It's an idle word. Years back, she said it. Years back. I started saying, pastor, how can I marry pastor? Hey, pastor. I don't know. You know, some people are just, they think, to be married, they allow the this they are useful. You know, there's something called useful age. And you just get married and you just do romantic. See, you talk to a romantic shina. You do romantic. Pastor, we will just come half minute and we will do the G. I don't be married, pastor. Some people are like that. What is your problem? I did an estimate for someone. I said, how old do you think she was complaining that she's getting to a certain age, she has not got married? And I said, how old are you? She said, how old do you think you will die? I said, yeah, how do you to like 90? And I said, 90. And I said, okay, let me give you a long life. I'll give you 100. Okay, remove 100 from this your age. About 70 something. County? You're not even 30. 70 something. So, you are rushing to get married. The person you marry, you'll be ready to live with that person for the rest of your life for 70 something years. Can you see it's not something you're rushing to? I've not seen it like that before. I think that is the truth. As I believe I say, I'm not seeing it in that light. That is the light to see it from. You are rushing. 70-something years. So she said all that. So, you know, now nothing. You know, maybe romantic 70-something years. If you recall romantic, you just shout, is this schnapp? So, it happened that she got married. To quote the man of a dream. Right? But along the line, she now got into ministry. She now want to serve the Lord. And here is the husband not agreeing for her to serve the Lord. I heard someone say, I want to marry a man that will be going to club. Young Gen Z. They will go to club, come back from club, we'll go to Paris, just go do some shopping in Paris, from Paris go to Dubai, you know, come back, do club every Friday. We leave our children from, but don't be clubbing. How many years do you club in your life?
You've not thought about it. Amen. Glory to God. And yet that lady now, she wants to do ministry, and her husband is the obstacle. And that was because of what she said years ago, not 5 years, not 10 years ago. Believe that. Your words will always come to pass. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew. We'll get back to Numbers. Let's see Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. No, sorry, Matthew 12. Sorry, Matthew 12. Are you there? Glory to God. Matthew 12 verse 36. It says, but I teach you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. So there's nothing like, it's just a gist now. Nah. It's not just me and Signet. I just gist him. I just said it. He just said rubbish. Amen? That word idle word there is the word agos. Means for every useless word, rubbish word. It's called barren words. Barren. Means the word is barren. Useless. Then you give account. Look at the next verse. For by your word thou shalt be justified, and by your words thou shalt be condemned. So your words are important. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Your words are important. Remember, we got justified in faith by our words, believing in what Jesus has done, right? We said it. So he said, your words are important. Idle words, useless words to give account. So you can't make useless exclamations. You can't say that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are done praying. You see, your prayer. Now we are done with prayer retreats, right? We've prayed. Your words after prayer retreat must be in consonance with your prayer. Amen. When you pray and then your words is in opposite direction, your prayer won't come to pass. Amen. 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 You're praying that your disciple will grow in the knowledge of God's word. I see his letter and say, you that knowledge is far from you. Your disciple will not grow. Your prayer, your long hour standing and praying, your leg was spinning you, is just a joke. You mess it up with your words. So your words must stand together with your prayer. You can't be done praying and believing God for something, and then you are speaking words of doubt afterwards. How will your prayer come to pass? How will you walk? Your words are already standing against your prayer. You see that? Your prayer, your words are very vital. What are you hearing me? Words are very vital. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say my words matter. Let's look at Proverbs as we begin to close. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. Verse 20 to 21. It is, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. You see that? The fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. He says, death. Watch this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You see that? Where is it? In your tongue. And they shall that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life. Your words are important. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 12, rush to Proverbs 12, verse 18, 18 to 19, here's what it says. It says, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a word, of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. But the tongue of the wise is health. This is that? Hallelujah. Said the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. So your words is health.
Listen up. Help. So the believer mustn't talk loosely. He mustn't talk loosely. Don't be a man of a loose tongue. Hope I hear me. Don't have a loose tongue. Don't have a loose tongue. You just talk anyhow. No. Glory to God. Glory to God. Who said you must say something? Sometimes just keep quiet. I mean, sometimes just say God's word. Many times, all the time, say God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You must always speak God's word. I show you tonight. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 5 verse 2. Say, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Then that, don't be in a rush to talk. Don't talk. Your voice, your mouth is like typewriter. Basket spilling water. Before you know it, you said it. You said any rubbish thing. No! That is not the character of a believer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 4. Say, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defy not to pay, for he had no pleasure in fools. Pay that thou was none. Okay, verse 6. Say, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Very vital. So your mouth is vital. Your mouth is vital. You will have what you say. Don't say, okay, now let's think about it. Which is the reality? If all you are saying will come to pass, if you are giving that check now that everything I say will come to pass, will you say some of the things you are saying? Will you say the things, if all you are saying will come to pass, some of the things you have said concerning your life, concerning your family, would you have said it? And let me shock you. What you say will always come to pass. Amen. So watch your life. Watch out. Just look at yourself. Have you been saying wrong words? You are going to replace it immediately with the right word. Concerning your business, concerning your work, concerning your education. How can you be saying to yourself? Just yourself that I began to teach my daughter how to say some words to herself. But I began to teach her, say to yourself, listen. I'll tell her, you know that she's small. No. Say to yourself, I'm intelligent, I'm smart, I'm courageous, I'm born of God. She said to herself, I have the light of God. Learn to say words to yourself. Say words to yourself. I came back for a prayer the other day. She came to me, Daddy, I said this thing to my dad. I keep saying it. She didn't know she's small. No, she has to start saying it from that age. Say the right words to yourself. Because if you don't teach, if you don't learn to say the right things on time, you start saying the wrong things. Amen. Say the right words. Say the right words. Open your enemy. Glory to God. If what you say will come to pass, will you say what you are saying? Number 14. Let's see what the Lord said to them. Number 14. As we go. Then we'll pick it up for this place next week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Numbers 14. Look at verse 27. Look at what the Lord said. Say, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, and as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. You know that? That means you will always have what you say. Because you have said it, what did they say? You brought us out to kill us. That's what they said. Amen. Amen. You brought us out to kill us.
hey, you have brought us to kill us here in the wilderness. God said, what you have said, you will have it. And what did they have? They all died in the wilderness. Amen. If what you will say will come to pass, will you say what you are saying? Because it will come to pass. Amen. So you just speak God's power to the sickness. You are saying, this is my sickness. It's your own. What is yours will stay with you. He said, and as I am not one, it has always been there. Because it's your own. It's your sickness. Amen. Glory to God. This is my sickness has come again. Where do you want it to go before? It's your own. Take your possession. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What are you saying concerning your life? Satan wants to make you feel unworthy. What will make you feel unworthy? They begin to say wrong things. How about saying I'm the righteousness of God? We're not dealing with that. Now, we're going to focus on this next week. How about saying I'm the righteousness of God? For that, I made a mistake, yes. But it says you are saved not of works. If God needed your works to qualify you, if God needed your works to qualify you, you wouldn't have been saved. Hallelujah. But he saved you by grace. Therefore, you are qualified. Hallelujah. Amen. So you put it in your mouth. I'm the righteousness of God. So if I'm scared to say I have the life of God in me, so if I'm scared to say I'm righteous because of the wrongs that is done. No, I'm not righteous because of my works. I'm righteous because of that is the nature of God. You say it first. Hallelujah. The believer doesn't do to say. The believer says to do. You say what God has done, then do. Hallelujah. Amen. It doesn't matter your conduct. It might be bad. It might have, no. We're not dealing with conduct here. We're talking about what has happened to us. I'm qualified. Hallelujah. To stand in the presence of God with boldness. Hallelujah. So you put God's word on your lips. I'm God's righteousness. Some people think God is dealing with them. That is why some people think maybe God is dealing with me for the sin that I've committed. What rubbish. What rubbish. If God wants to deal with you for the sins you've committed, then who would have gotten you saved? Who would have sent Jesus to die? He sent Jesus to die. Now those sins will not stand in place. When you use the word accept it, it means to put it far from you. He has taken it out of the way. Hallelujah. So sins can't stand against you. No sin you have committed or you ever commit will stand against you. Hallelujah. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So you said it. This is what has happened to me. I will therefore now live as the righteousness of God. Did you see that? Amen. So I'm living as God's righteousness because this is who I am. Glory to God. This is my nature. This is my life. Glory to God. But I am God's righteousness. No matter what. I have the Spirit of God. Can you say that to yourself? Say, I have the Spirit of God.
I have the life of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So therefore this week, put God's word on your lips. Much more. Much more. Much more. Have talking sessions. Like you have praying sessions. Hallelujah. Talk about God's work through your hands. Speak right. Speak right. We're going to explore more next week. But speak right. How about saying, God's life is in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, I will not walk in darkness, so I am not in darkness. I have the light of life. Hallelujah. John 8 verse 12. Hallelujah. He that followeth me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I have light. I have light. There's no confusion in my path. This week I know what to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, most times when we stop like this, look, doesn't mean we don't have challenges, though. But we don't allow our challenges to determine our speech. Glory to God. We don't allow it to determine our speech. I keep my confession red hot. I keep God's word in my mouth red hot. Glory to God. Your words, they matter to God. They matter a lot. Your words matter a lot. So say the right word. Try to say the right word.
I say the right word.
Hallelujah. Learn something?
Rest you on our feet and thank the Lord.